Let's bring in our pal Anthony Petrioli, writer for Maple Leafs Hot Stove. Anthony, good morning, my friend. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. How about you?
Well, we're doing well. We're doing well. Everything's going okay. I would say, you know, for August the 13th, it's wonderful to have this this type of news, something of this magnitude come down the pipeline. Because I got to tell you, I sat there yesterday in preparation for our show today thinking, all right, what are we going to talk about? Got to come up with different Jays narratives. And then, boom, 6:30, 7 o'clock, here comes a massive bombshell. It was great. What was your initial...
You think they purposely waited for the Olympics to be over?
You know what? It's a good question. I do wonder how sort of the timing came together on this. And maybe that's where we start. Like, do you make anything of the timing of it? Like, are you, was there anything that's like, is there anything curious about the fact that it's announced on August the 12th and tomorrow will be the official press conference in which we have this formally unveiled. But do you make anything of the timing?
The only thing I would potentially make out of it is I'm sure they wanted to target a time where news is slower, kind of get it out of the system and arrive to camp. You know, I wouldn't say it's ever a non-story in Toronto, but I'm sure that they hope that it kind of fades into the background and you're off to bigger and better things, which I think sort of just lines up with the general premise of, you know, likely what trying to happen here. They have a brand new coaching staff, and yeah, that brand new coaching staff is anointing a brand new leadership group, which is what they should be doing.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that's a big part of it, frankly, because the more, you know, you think about it, it makes sense in terms of timelines that you would have this change in leadership from a coaching standpoint, a completely brand new staff, a captain in John Tavares, who's going into the final year of his deal. Auston Matthews entering the first year of his extension, which makes him the highest paid player in the National Hockey League. That's obviously going to change once, you know, Leon Draisaitl strokes a check and Connor McDavid puts pen to paper on another extension at some point. But for now, he is. And it feels like it all lines up. And this is where my overall greater sort of sentiment lies, is this is probably more about Auston Matthews than it really is about John Tavares. Would you agree with that? It's more of, as you put it, anointing this individual as the face of our franchise. We all know it. We've all known it for years. But now putting a letter next to the name to say and to signify that certainly he is, in fact, the guy, the face, the ultimate power figure in this organization, all of that lies with Auston Matthews.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, obviously the buck stops with him on the ice. I don't think anyone would argue that, and I don't think anyone would have argued that for years on end at this point. He's, you know, one of the best players in the league. He's obviously the best player on the Leafs. I know that that's not always synonymous, but that doesn't make him the best leader, that doesn't make him the best captain, and those things could or could not be true in this scenario. I'm not going to dissect that, but I do know as the Toronto Maple Leafs captain specifically, you have to be a lot more available to the media. You have to answer the bell a lot more when, you know, things go right, of course, but when things go wrong, the Leafs have a bit of a rotation in terms of who they, you know, allow access to media-wise, who answers questions when. John Tavares was obviously a little bit more forward as the captain, but there were tons of games where I would go back last year and say, you know, Auston Matthews didn't speak, and this was kind of a, you know, big or frustrating or unacceptable or however you want to term it, loss. And now as the captain, it's, you go out and answer why we, you know, why do we keep losing to the Columbus Blue Jackets multiple times a year? Like, why are we losing the season series to Ottawa, who's, you know, ripping big slap shots into our empty net? Like, why are we losing to the Detroit Red Wings continuously? Why is Boston throwing a parade to celebrate a cup victory and then rushing us 4-1? Like, you go answer questions as to why this is happening, not John Tavares, who, you know, at this point in his career is not impacting games as significantly.
Do you think, Anthony, it matters that to have a leader, or sorry, not a leader, a captain that is inherently vocal? Like is that a prerequisite for the role, or is it okay to have more of a leadership by committee approach where there are multiple guys, perhaps even those who are further down the depth chart, that can sort of be that rah-rah kind of leader in the room or be the front-facing figure that is stepping in front of a microphone and saying all the right things, providing the correct messaging, the politically correct messaging to the fan base and to the media? Or does that need to come from the captain? And in this case, do we believe Austin Matthews is that type of individual? Or you know, the way this is being sort of presented is it's the evolution of him as a leader. Do we believe that the evolution is within him, that this is something he is capable of, or that is actually even necessary of him to do, being a more vocal figure as opposed to the guy that we've sort of come to know and expect, where we've seen maturity, but at the same time, we know on occasion, as you alluded to, he can be a more quiet, reserved guy. Does that matter at all? Because it feels like, in a way, with John Tavares, we almost sort of went through this, although he's vastly more experienced in terms of where he is in his NHL career.
Well, to go back to the first question, I do think you need a leadership group, especially here in Toronto. It's just, you know, that's just the reality of the market. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of attention. I saw, you know, some players take to Twitter last night, like ex-players that didn't play for the Leafs, and they were talking about, you know, captaincies when they were, you know, in the league and whatnot. But you can't really compare, you know, a mid-market American city with maybe one or two reporters that cover the team full time compared to Toronto, which, you know, this is the next morning, 9 a.m. news in the middle of August, and there's other sports happening. You can't compare, like, the, you know, Toronto, Montreal, there's certain markets where, you know, New York, it, the attention's a little bit different. I think you do need a committee. You know, the only time they've even remotely had success in this millennium, which is the Pat Quinn era, he was pretty much collecting captains at one point. If you looked at that team and how many ex-captains were on it and how many, you know, guys have won cups and whatnot. And I think, to the Leafs' credit, you know, you hear about Chris Tanev across the league. He's well-respected as a teammate and a leader. You know, he's going to come in and offer something. Oliver Ekman-Larsson was a captain in the NHL for a long time. You know, he just came and won a Stanley Cup. Like, I think you could see them trying to do some of those things in terms of who they're targeting. And, you know, two players, again, that they would be very familiar with, considering Brad Treliving had them. So I do think they're trying to have a bit more of that committee. And then at the same time, I don't think Austin Matthews needs to be necessarily vocal. I really just think it kind of, you know, goes back to what we said. I think it's the importance of being accountable when these things happen, which, not to say that he wasn't previously and now this makes him magically more accountable, but it does weigh on you a little bit different when the C is on your chest and you know, the buck ultimately stops with you as opposed to somebody else in terms of, you know, dealing with it publicly and all of that comes with it. Like, I think it would be naive to think that that is, you know, an absolute meaningless, nothing burger of sorts for any player to have to handle.
Chatting with Anthony Petrielli from Maple Leafs Hot Stove. Daniele Franceschi with you here on Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You hear this mentioned a lot when it comes to coaching in professional sports. I often, you know, hear this trope sort of pranced around with basketball in particular. It's a lot different when you move two seats to the right or left, depending on where your bench is located. And you go from being, let's say, an assistant coach to now being the head coach. And as you put it, the buck stops with you. And I feel very similarly about this. And the fact that, sure, Austin Matthews has worn an A on his chest, as of other guys within this locker room. But the moment now the C is on your chest, it's going to feel different. And there are going to be added responsibilities or an added layer of accountability that, even as as he sits there today, and I'm sure he's had conversations with John Tavares, I'm sure he's had conversations with Brad Treliving, the entire leadership group within the front office, I'm sure he's thought about what that might entail. But then when it actually comes to fruition and he physically is standing there and there's a C on his chest, it's going to feel different. And I had this thought driving in this morning. Why is it so different? Like, what makes it, how does a letter all of a sudden add this additional layer of importance, this added element of accountability? And I don't know, I find it interesting because it sort of feels like it varies by sport. But in hockey, why do we place so much emphasis on who's actually wearing the C? Because as we just outlined, that doesn't necessarily always equate to where a lot of your leadership or a lot of your vocal guidance comes from within the construct of a locker room full of 19, 20 men.
Yeah, it might not, but I think what it always comes back to is you as, whether it's fan or media or whatever the case is, the first thought when something goes wrong is, where was this person and what do they have to say? And, for as poorly as things have gone over the years here of playoff utility, I don't know if I would say consistently through that time that people were sitting there going, what does Austin Matthews have to say? And lining up his post-game interview, even though he was the best player on the team and really should be the most accountable for it. You know, it's somewhat relatable to, it's not always easy to compare hockey to any sort of professional setting, but it's one thing telling your boss, we should spend our money this way. And then there's another when it's your name, that's the one signing how we're spending the money and what it's happening, right? There's just a little bit extra responsibility. Sure, you're both pulling in that same direction, but now it's your name on it. It's no longer you're the whispering in the ear. And I was part of that idea. It was like, this is me. So I think that's ultimately where it will come into play more. And I think the other angle too, like we're looking at it a lot from Austin Matthews' side. Yeah. I look at it mainly from Craig Berube. He is really going to be the culture setter for this organization. I'm not expecting Austin Matthews to suddenly become a transcendent culture setter that he, I guess arguably hasn't been since his career has started. I think it really starts above him with Craig Berube, who's setting really the tone and the table of how he wants everything to be run. And I think that's the ultimate lens of where to look at it. It's new coach coming in and saying, I'm changing the leadership group. These guys, they haven't won anything. Yep. And I'm not going to go down this direction. And the easy thing could have been wait for the contract to expire. And this organization's been criticized a lot for, doing the easy things over the years instead of the hard things. And here's Craig Berube, and he's making a hard decision. And, in that sense, I commend what he's doing.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point because I think it comes down to the power dynamics at play here. And, you have if there was an existing captain in place with a new head coach coming in, sure, there's, a relationship that can be established there. But at the same time, if you're John Tavares in that position, I've been the captain, for five seasons in this city. Now, if you want to really shake things up and send a message to not just, guys like John Tavares and Austin Matthews, who are the two primary figures involved in this exchange, but the team as a whole and completely, as you put it, setting the culture. There's no move that is more impactful than something of this nature, where you're having the captaincy change hands among active teammates. It doesn't happen often in the National Hockey League where you have the transfer of power occur between two players that are still going to be on the same roster during the ensuing season in which this transpires. Like, we haven't seen that happen very frequently over the last, 15, 20 years in the NHL. Speaking of John Tavares, Anthony, and I wanted to hone in on him for a second. What do you think this means for him in the grand scheme of things? Like, I see people trying to outline how this decision or his complicity in this decision can incentivize him, because it might indicate that the Leafs have an aptitude, a desire to potentially keep him long-term. It makes him look like a good soldier and all this. But, generally, where does this leave him right now? Because it feels like he's going into a year where he knows, regardless of how this pans out in 2024, 2025, he's not getting a contract that is remotely close to what he got when he signed on July 1st, 2018 with the Toronto Maple Leafs. That is done. He's at a different stage of his career. He's now lost the captaincy. Where does this leave him going into his age 34 season?
I don't think it really changes much for him, other than all of the added pressure that we mentioned is on Matthews is now off of his shoulders, right? So, I do think the weight of the captaincy can be quite heavy here in particular, right? It's a lot of extra attention. It's a lot of extra focus. I think Matthews is at a point in his career where, you know, ideally he has that added pressure and responsibility. And for John Tavares, I think it's the exact opposite. I think you'll see people paint it as, you know, some sort of indictment or negative thing to him and, you know, mm-hmm. leading him out to dry. And I think the opposite for Tavares, it's like, great. It's like, pressure's off. Like, you're going into a contract here. Yep. Like, go play hockey. Like, you know, you were still good last year. You had 65 points, you had 29 goals. You had a career low shooting percentage. Let's see if that can get changed around. You had that massive nine game goalless drought, which clearly weighed on you at the time. Like, just like, go out and play hockey. And, you know, he doesn't need, his resume speaks for himself. His pedigree speaks for himself across the league. I don't think he needs to sell himself in any capacity to get a contract. You know, Steven Stamkos has been more productive and has the cups, but the bigger point there is he just signed a massive deal with the Nashville Predators. I think John Tavares can go out there and focus on playing hockey, and, you know, I'm sure he'll still be part of the leadership room, but mm-hmm. it'll just be a little bit different now for him. And maybe some of the things that he was criticized for in the past in terms of his interviews, and really the kind of, I don't know how the nice way of saying it is, but, you know, his interviews can be bland.
The tone.
There we go. The tone. right. So, you know, maybe he won't get criticized for that as much. Like, it's for him, I think it's honestly largely good. I think you kind of have to go out of your way to get to that being a bad thing for John Tavares, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, perception lies in the eye of the beholder. Ultimately, I think regardless though, I tend to lean in your direction. I agree. I think this is a positive for John Tavares because for somebody that's going into a pivotal season, that being a contract year, he's not getting any younger, but now he's in a position where, as you put it, that added weight is going to be alleviated slightly, that added responsibility alleviated, and he's still going to be able to be himself. He's going to be who he is, and he's still a productive enough player at this age, at this stage of his career, to have a positive impact on not just the Toronto Maple Leafs, but there are plenty of other teams that would certainly be interested in his services, obviously at a reduced number in terms of cap hit, but there is still going to be a market for him beyond whatever transpires this season with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and whether that happens in a Leafs uniform or not, he's still going to be in a position where I think things are going to work out very positively for him from a hockey standpoint going forward. I did, you know, the letters in general, now this obviously shakes things up in terms of the leadership core with, you know, Matthews assuming the C and Tavares stepping aside. You think John Tavares needs a letter on his jersey? Like, do you think it's now, it's sort of a very hierarchical sort of, I don't want to say demotion, but hierarchical shift, and it goes, you know, Matthews is now bumped up from wearing an A on his chest. Tavares bumps down to wearing an A on his chest. What does that mean then for Mitch Marner, who was obviously sharing an A with Austin Matthews for the last few seasons? How do you see that dynamic shaking out in terms of the assignment of the additional letters for assistant captains?
Yeah, so teams generally could have three assistant captains to go along with their captain. So it'll be interesting to see the Leafs' approach to handling that. And, you know, if you were to look at it logically, you would expect that Tavares still has some letter on his chest. Just, you know, I don't think anyone's going to sit here or sit there and say Tavares did a bad job and this is why we're taking the C off his chest. So in that vein of, yeah, he did a good job, but we're, you know, moving, you know, we're passing the torch forward to Matthews. This is his time. This is his team, et cetera. You would think quite logically, he would still keep an A on his chest. I don't think anyone will argue against Morgan Riley being an assistant captain on the team. He's the longest tenured Leaf. He is the most vocal of anybody. He's really been the only player that's routinely stepped up in the playoffs, not this past year, mind you, but by and large over the course of his career, he's really been the main guy that you could consistently point to. So if you have those two taking up two spots, then you have one spot left for either Mitch Marner going into a contract year or William Nylander, who's about to, you know, make over $11 million a year, which, you know, the money that shouldn't necessarily dictate the letter on the chest, but in this market, you've kind of, you know, homegrown both players. They both make a ton of money. They're both clearly in your top three. They are the other two, and they're clear core pieces that, you know, you've identified, and at minimum in Nylander's case, made a commitment to. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that, because as you said, they've kind of alternated assistant captains, which honestly just seems a little bit elementary school. So, you know, I hope they make a decision, honestly, regardless of what it is. I just hope they make a decision, because you're in the NHL. Like, you really shouldn't have to be alternating assistant captains, whether you're home or away.
Yeah, no more sharing. Sharing's done. We don't like to share. But I'm with you, because it does indicate a level of maturity that, you know, these guys they're grown men, right? They're professional athletes. They should be able to handle it and just accept whatever the decision is and move on. It does feel like they, I don't want to say we're coddling those guys, but certainly trying to appease them as much as possible by saying, all right, we're going to rotate this letter around here and there and make sure that all our core members are wearing a letter. And, you know, in theory, that's very much ceremonial. And did it really matter? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, not entirely. I do wonder about the Marner thing, because I think if there's anybody that would be most affected by not, or by having a letter stripped away, it might be him, because there's already been such a maelstrom of discussion surrounding his tenure, what his future holds. And I think we know that, you know, whether he will say it explicitly or not, he can tend to be a bit of a, you know, things can be dicey with Mitch Marner in terms of his conduct and how he presents himself. And he tends to take things personally and feel a certain type of way. So I do think that would generate the biggest firestorm, as if the Leafs decided to say, okay, this is what we're going forward with. And let's say it's somebody completely off the board. Even if it's like John Tavares doesn't have a letter or he does whatever, let's say they decide we're going to give an A to Max Domi, who took a bit of a discount, and he's a gritty player that's going to be one of our on-ice and off-ice leaders. Let's give him an A. Well, now Mitch Marner's left in front of everybody, naked without a letter, without a contract for the time being. And it just sort of feels like you're going into a lame duck season with, regardless of what people think of him, he's the best. He's one of the best players on your team. He's one of the most talented players in all of hockey. I find that problematic. Do you?
Yeah. Like, how they go about handling that will be interesting. I suspect what we will hear on Wednesday will be discussion of a leadership group. You know, it won't just be about Matthews. I'm sure they'll try to, you know, dampen that a little bit more and make it, you know, one, like, we are changing captains, of course, and what's involved with that. But then two, you know, updating the overall leadership group and how that will play out. So that will be interesting, because, you know, even if we were to go back to the Amazon Prime series, for example, in 2021, there are multiple meetings that we see the Leafs have with a leadership group, with guys who don't, you know, necessarily even have a letter on their chest. You know, Joe Thornton's there, for example. So, you know, speaking of captains getting it stripped, you know, exactly. Joe is there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so I imagine that they'll do that. So I do think that whoever does have, you know, Riley aside, I think Riley is a, you know, he should have a letter on his chest. I think the rest of it, we could see it being a little bit political in nature, I guess we'll call it, in terms of how they approach handling it and who gets it and what they'll, you know, try to control from a narrative perspective. That's just me purely guessing. They could potentially not care about that at all. Craig Berube's new. You know, he doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He doesn't necessarily have an attitude of, I care about what the media says, which is good. So, you know, by all means, he could sit there and say, like, I don't care. I'm just doing what I think is right, and people can deal with it. So that also wouldn't surprise me, but I would imagine that they do focus on that sort of leadership group and how things, you know, come together and making sure that all of these guys feel involved, even if they don't necessarily have a letter on their chest. But that's easier to sell in theory than it is in practice. Like you said, like, I do think it would be a little bit, I think it'd be a little bit eyebrow raising if we're, you know, looking at Mitch Marner without a letter at all and without a contract for most of next season.
Yeah, it would, I mean, you would think it would, just from a narrative standpoint, you're opening up a big can of worms there. That, I mean, obviously people are already going to discuss the contract situation, the fact that there hasn't been no material change to the core, but having him show up to camp without a new deal on the final year of his existing contract and then saying we're also stripping away a letter that is, at least from a symbolic standpoint, indicative of you being a part of our leadership group, that would probably send off a lot of alarm bells and raise some red flags in terms of what they think or the direction this is going. But that'll be interesting in another conversation for another day, because we have plenty of time to dive into all of that. Of course, tomorrow, 11 a.m., the Leafs will be formally unveiling Austin Matthews as the 26th captain in franchise history. Anthony, thanks so much for carving out some time today. Really appreciate you being generous with the time. Always fun catching up with you.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem. There he goes. Anthony Petrielli, writer for Maple Leafs Hot Stove.